Hallelujah. Acts chapter 9, if you'll go there with me. Acts chapter 9. I tell you, we have, God has given us shepherds, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, who have hearts like his heart for the people. And I tell you, as a church family, we are so blessed to have pastors like them. And they are just the absolute best. Praise God. So, all right. If you're in Acts chapter 9, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Now, Father, we know what you've laid upon our heart, but we need unction, utterance, that divine ability to get it out. So, Father, that which you've laid upon our heart now, that which you've helped us to prepare, now give us that divine ability, Father, to share it in the way that you desire for your people. So we yield ourselves to you. We thank you for the mighty word. We thank you that your word's endued with power. We thank you, Father God. Oh, Father, thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our great helper tonight. And so we bless you and thank you and honor you and reverence you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you're in Acts chapter 9, we're going to read verse 31 together. And what we're going to say tonight is coming right out of this verse of Scripture. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. When I read these verses of Scripture, this particular verse jumped off the pages to me, and particularly this part, the church throughout all of Judea, Galilee, Samaria enjoyed peace, particularly this part, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase. Tonight, we're talking about the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. You know, in the early church, there seems to have been this dimension that they added to their faith, what we'd call the fear of the Lord. I like the way it says it in the Living Bible. The Living Bible says about this verse that the church learned how to walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I like it that way. They learned how to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And there's something about the fear of the Lord. You say, well, we're not talking about being afraid of him, like a phobia, fear. We're not talking about that. When the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, the Bible's talking about reverence for God's presence. The Bible's talking about reverencing, being cognizant of his presence, being so aware of his presence. You know, when we are aware, when we walk in the fear of the Lord, there's a greater awareness of the presence of the Lord. When there is this added dimension to our faith as believers, the fear of the Lord, I tell you, it's the word comes alive to us. When we're walking in the fear of the Lord, the word takes on new meaning. Walking in the fear of the Lord, suddenly these aren't just ordinary words when you read them. You can be in your morning devotion, and when you read the word, suddenly, when we walk in the fear of the Lord, the word takes on a fresh, brand new meaning. In the fear of the Lord, you'll find it's the Lord himself speaking to you through the word. You don't need another person to say something to you of encouragement, because when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, the word just comes alive. The word will come right off of the pages of Scripture. And the church seemed to have, the early church seemed to have this added dimension to their faith. Again, in the Living Bible, they learned how to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And those two things are critically important. And I'll tell you why. Because we all go through things where we need the comfort of God's Holy Spirit. And we all need to be more cognizant of the Lord's presence. And there's something about combining a greater awareness of his presence with yielding ourselves to the comfort of his Holy Spirit. My brother and sister, his Holy Spirit, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ into your life, then the Bible says, John 14, 15, 16, that the Holy Spirit, he's on the inside of us. Aren't you glad about that? Anybody here glad the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of you? Praise God. You don't need a mediator other than Jesus. You don't have to go to a, you know, I was raised Catholic. And in the Catholic tradition, you know, whenever you needed something from God, you had to go to a priest. And so if you sinned, if you made a mistake, I'd have to go wait till church was open when you could go and see the priest. And then you'd go down there and you go in the confessional and then you'd say, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. My last confession was, and you'd give the date of your last confession. And then the priest would say, okay, my son, what have you done? And then you tell the priest what you've done. And then he gives you four Hail Marys or two Our Fathers, or he tells you to go recite the act of contrition or whatever it was. And after you do all that, then he absolves your sins. But aren't you glad? The Holy Ghost is down on the inside. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Glory to God. And aren't you glad? We have an audience with the King anytime we want it. So it might be 2 a.m. when you need an audience with the King, but God's presence is right there with you. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. And there's something about when we go through things and we become aware that we're not going through it alone, that the Lord himself is walking with us. It's something so strengthening about that. You see, when we feel like, well, I'm just out here alone. No, you're not out here alone. God's presence is with you. Hebrews 13:5 says, he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Think about that. This is something he has said. He himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. My brother and sister, I don't know what challenge you face today. I don't know what obstacles you face today, but I do know this. The Lord sent me here to share this scripture. I'm certain of that. And whatever it is, he wants me to remind you that you are not alone. But we know that. Don't we know that mentally? You know, in a mental way, we know we're never alone. If you ask somebody who's gripped with fear and say, is the Lord with you? They'll say, yeah, the Lord's with me. I'm gripped with fear. So there's a difference between giving mental assent to something, mental acknowledgement, and then having an experiential an experience with him where we experience his presence in a fresh, real way. I said the fear of the Lord is the presence of God in a fresh way. It's the presence of God in a real and exciting way. And the church, the early church, they were built up going on in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Those two things work hand in hand. Because if we're walking in the fear of the Lord, we'll be sensitive when he tries to comfort us. Do you know that there are times when the Lord tries to comfort us and we're not sensitive to it? But Corinthians tells us God identifies himself. He says, I'm the God of what? All comfort. The Holy Spirit, read John 14, 15, 16, he's the great comforter. God is constantly moving in our behalf to comfort us. Situations, circumstances, scenarios, God knows all about it. And not only does he know all about it, he moves on our behalf to do what? To comfort us. But if we're not aware of his presence, then we're less sensitive when he tries to help us. Let me give an example. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. There was a crisis in the lives and the disciples in their lives. There was an immediate crisis. Jesus had been crucified. They weren't sure where he was, and the third day had come, and they weren't sure where he was, what was going on. And so here the Bible says that Mary, she goes to the tomb. Look at verse 11, John chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. And when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Now listen, this is 14. When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, She said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, then tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and he had said these things to her. Can you see? Mary was so emotional about what she was struggling with. And the Lord, she was right there in the Lord's presence, and she didn't know it. This added dimension, the fear of the Lord. The early believers had this aspect to their faith. They grew. They learned how to walk in the fear of the Lord. They learned how to be cognizant of his presence. The reality is, God's with you whether you feel it or not. You don't have to feel it for him to be with you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. But there's another reality, and that is that God wants you and I to have a greater awareness of his presence, a greater sensitivity to his presence. You know, if Mary had had a greater sensitivity to his presence, if she had known that the Lord was right there, she wouldn't have been crying. The angel kept saying to her, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Just tell me where you laid him. Tell me where you took him." And sometimes in the midst of our honest emotion, and listen, there's nothing wrong with emotion. Emotion can be healthy. Emotion can be good. Emotion can be cathartic. With emotion, we can release pressure of life. It is good to cry and to release things and get things out. I'm not saying bottle stuff up inside. We should release that. We should be express our emotion. But listen, God doesn't operate in the realm of emotion. He's a spirit. He operates in the realm of the spirit. And Mary, in the midst of all of her emotion, we can understand her emotion, but she was missing something very, very important. And you see, the fear of the Lord, without the fear of the Lord, you and I, we may be missing something very, very important in our own life. We might be able to see it in Mary and not see it in our own life. That is, that God's trying to get your attention. God's trying to show you that he's with you tomorrow. God's trying to show you that whatever obstacle you're facing, he's right there with you. He's trying to show you, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to forsake you. I will be with you always. But without the fear of the Lord, we succumb to the power of emotion. And when Mary turned around, the Bible says she thought he was the gardener. Supposing him to be the gardener. Just tell me where you laid him. We need this added dimension of the fear of the Lord. Go with me to back to the book of Acts. Go with me to the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 2. This added dimension of the fear of the Lord is so important to our faith. God may be talking to you, my brother and sister. He may be speaking to you. And without the fear of the Lord, without a greater awareness of his presence, you might not be aware. And God's talking to you the whole time. And what happens is when people feel like, well, Lord, you're not saying anything to me. You're not talking to me. Then the enemy sends people deceptive thoughts and people start thinking, well, God doesn't care. So people say, well, the Lord's not talking to me. Well, you're not talking to me. You must not care. Well, if you must not care, then maybe I should give up. That's a lie from the pit of hell. But the enemy plays that game. He plays that, and so I'm not saying we're. I'm not in any way suggesting we are to live by feelings. No, we live by faith as believers. But to have the fear of the Lord is to have a greater awareness of his holy presence upon us. In Acts chapter 2, after the outpouring of the mighty Holy Spirit and the wonderful fellowship of the new believers. Look at verse 43, Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. There's not a few people who had it. The Bible says everybody kept feeling that. There was a sense of awe in them. That's what we mean by the fear of the Lord. A greater awareness of his presence, a sense of awe at what God's... Do you know God's doing awesome things in your life every single day? And sometimes we treat what God has done as mundane or a routine, but there is nothing mundane, there is nothing routine about what God has done for you. I said God himself has delivered you from a devil's hell. And that alone ought to be enough to thank him, praise him, to leave your house with joy every day, knowing that you're going to spend eternity in heaven if you're a believer. That ought to be enough to send you out praising the Lord. And here it says everybody kept feeling this sense of awe. They had a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place. When there is that reverence, when there is that fear of the Lord, we're not talking about a natural human fear. We're talking about a sense of awesome awareness of his presence, talking about being in awe of who God is and what he's doing in your life. And when a believer gets that sense of awe at who God is, and what he's doing in your life, you'll see everything differently. You'll view everything differently. God is awesome. God's sustaining you. He's put a roof over your head. He's given you a job to go to. He's touched and healed your body. God's put his favor on you, put his hand on you. God has strengthened you. All that you've needed, he has provided. He's awesome. But when we walk in the fear of the Lord, we have a greater awareness of his awesomeness. It is the fact that we serve a God who is so awesome in that it created an environment in which faith is so easily released. When there is first that sense of his awesomeness, when there is first that sense that God's greater than anything we're facing. My brother and sister, we all face challenges. We all face adversity. But you know who's greater than whatever you're challenged with? Who's greater than your adversity? It is our Heavenly Father. He's greater than it all. And he's given us the name of Jesus. Aren't you glad about that? And there's no name greater than that name. And he's given us the Word. And there's nothing more powerful than his Word. It's quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. He's given us his Holy Spirit. There's no one greater than his Holy Spirit. He said, I've placed you in the palm of my hands and no man can take you out of my hands. I said, God has got his eye on you. He's got his hand on you. He's got his goodness on you. And he's doing awesome things in your life. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, when we walk in the fear of the Lord, when we walk in the fear of the Lord, we have this awesome sense of his presence. But we're also cognizant that God can speak to us in different ways. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm sorry, 5, go to 5. Ephesians 5 and 21. Ephesians 5 and 21. The Bible says this, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. It doesn't mean be frightful about the Lord, be frightful or we're afraid of Christ. No, listen, we should be so cognizant of his awesomeness, of his amazing presence. Oh my. If I'm really walking in the fear of the Lord, then I'm going to recognize his presence even when he speaks through someone else. I'm going to recognize his presence even when he uses someone else to talk to me. Someone else can tell you, hey, have a great day. You're going to make it. The hand of the Lord is on you. And you're like, okay, thank you. I got too much to do. But you might have just missed your opportunity to hear God speak to you. And when we have that sense of his presence and his holiness and his greatness upon us and with us, I tell you, we see life differently. Go back with me to the book of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We read in chapter 2 how they walked in the fear of the Lord. Everyone kept having that sense of awe about what God was doing. In Acts chapter 5, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, bringing a portion of it, laid it at the apostles' feet.
Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Keep back some of the price of the land. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came over all who heard it. And the young men got up and covered him up and carried him out, and they buried him. And then the next few scriptures, his wife comes in, and you know Peter asks her the same questions, and she lies too. And verse 10 says, immediately she fell at his feet, breathed her last. The young man came in, found her dead. They carried her out, buried her beside her husband. Great fear came over all the whole church and over all who heard these things. You know, I bet you that the next church service after these things happened, everybody was there on time. I bet you the church went pat the Sunday after this happened. What are you saying? I'm saying God doesn't want us in fear of him. He's not some mean ogre waiting to slap us down. No, he is our loving heavenly Father who we love because he first loved us. He lavished his love upon us. But we must never forget, my brother and sister, that he has never ceased to be a holy God. God is holy. And thank God he's our Father and he's rich in mercy. Praise God. But I'll tell you, Ananias and Sapphira here in chapter 5, they lost sight of the fear of the Lord. The rest of the church was walking in the fear of the Lord. They were cognizant of God's presence, cognizant of God's holiness. They were saying, like when the rest of the church was giving, if they were tempted to cheat God like that, they were saying, oh no, God will see it. God's watching. God will see that. You know, when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you walk in a greater awareness of sin and you want to avoid that. Because you're aware that our Heavenly Father, though he is full of mercy, he is still a holy God. And he sees everything. I said he sees everything. Go with me to the book of Genesis real quick. Genesis. The fear of the Lord. Genesis 39. Genesis 39. The early church, they went on. They learned how to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I tell you. If we'll catch that, there won't be anything the enemy's able to, no trick he's able to employ that will work successfully against us. Won't work. No weapon formed against us will prosper anyway. But when we have the fear of the Lord, we're going to be more aware of his presence and his comfort. Here in Genesis 39, look down at the end of verse 6 says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came about after these events that his master's wife looked at him with desire to Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except for you because you're his wife. How could I do this great evil and sin against God? You know what I believe that Joseph was walking in? He was so successful, he was walking in the fear of the Lord. Joseph was cognizant that God was present. Potiphar's wife was saying, nobody's present. Nobody's going to see it. She was saying, let's sin because nobody's going to see that. And Joseph was saying, no. How could I commit this great evil in the sight of the Lord? God's here. God will see that. I can't do that. God will see that. He was walking in the fear of the Lord. I tell you, the fear of the Lord will give us a new attitude about avoiding sin. Thank God he's a merciful God. And thank God for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. But when we walk in the fear of the Lord, we're cognizant of the fact that God, his presence is there. He's an awesome God, but he's also a holy God. In Deuteronomy, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. God gave Israel commandments as they were going into the promised land. He gave them commandments, what they were to pay attention to as they were going into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 6 at verse 10. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. And you shall, verse 13, you shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. I tell you, worshiping God and spending time in his presence and really focusing in on him when we worship is a great way to grow in the fear of the Lord. So often when we're worshiping, it's easy to be distracted. It's easy to think about what you have to do after church, what happened before church, who needs you, who's buzzing your phone. It's easy to think about what friends and family need. But oh, there's something about focusing in on the Lord, like as if he's right in front of you. And when we worship God like that, we get a greater awareness and presence of, it's not a fearful thing, it's a greater awareness of his presence right there with you. I was playing my guitar one morning and it was dark still outside, and it was dark in the room. I left the light out and I was just playing my guitar, and suddenly the presence of God became so real in the room. And I could tell the Lord's right here with his presence is right here in front of me. I put the guitar down. I got a little afraid. I said, I'll be right back, Lord. That made me a little, like, made the hair stand up on the back of my neck. But I'm not talking about being afraid of the Lord. I'm talking about having a greater awareness for his presence. Look at verse 24. You're in Deuteronomy 6, 24. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. So that commandment from the Lord, what was that commandment? It was to fear the Lord. It was to walk in the fear. It was to walk in the fear of the Lord. It was to walk in the fear of the Lord. And then finally in Psalm 33, Anthony, are you still here? Can you guys come back out and do that song if you can? Can you do that song in the presence of Jehovah again? In our last few minutes together, in Psalm 33, verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Oh man, that's our job as believers, to stand in awe of God. I tell you, your Heavenly Father, he is awesome. He's not done helping you. He's not done touching you. He's not done filling you. He's not done providing for you. He's not done opening doors for you. He's not done healing and providing whatever level of comfort that you need. We are to stand together in his awesome presence. Verse 17 of Psalm 33 says, a horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, and on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Let's sing that again.
In the presence,
just worship God now.
Of Jehovah, God
close tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 34, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles. Verse 6, the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who fear him and rescues them. Verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there's no want. Young lions, they lack and suffer hunger. Those who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. My brother and sister, I can only tell you tonight that the Lord sent me here with those verses of Scripture to share with you that his presence is all we need. And I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. But I do know this, that as you worship God, as you saturate yourself with his word, he's going to show himself so strong in your life. The God of the universe is with you. He is your helper. He is your protector. He is your provider. And whatever you need, God has that for you tonight. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the comfort of your spirit. And like the early church, we want to learn to walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Whatever people are facing out there, Father, may they know that if they want to be saved tonight, they can be saved. If they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, they can be filled. They want your help. They need your help in some situation. They want to know they're not alone. Oh, Father, we know through your word, through your spirit, we're never alone. And so help us to grow in our cognizance of your presence, our awareness of your presence with us always. And help us, Father, not to become so busy that we get mired down in things of life and we lose track of your very presence that's with us every single day. Thank you for helping us. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, as you prepare to leave here today, I just want you to remember in his presence, oh, there's fullness of joy. Whatever you need from God, God's right there with you. And whatever you're facing tonight or whatever you're facing in the morning, you're not facing it alone. If you'll remind yourself, concentrate on him in your worship. Saturate yourself with the word. Take time to pray, a little extra time in the Holy Ghost. You're going to have a greater awareness of his presence. God's going to lead you right on through to the victory. So thank you for being here tonight. You'll be right back here Sunday morning, 9 o'clock in the School of Bible Hour, and then 10 o'clock right here at church. So thank you for being here. God bless you. Anything else before we go? All right, you are dismissed. God bless you one and all.